Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that this is the truth. This brings correction, direction, Father God, and protection to our lives. And we pray today we would be receivers of your word. Lord, as we speak on faith and hope and love in our new series, I pray it would bring that into people's homes in Jesus' name. If you believe it, tell the cat, amen. Amen. Come on, take your seats. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. That's why we started with love. Steve started it on Sunday last week, and then I cleared up all of his theology on Wednesday and just sorted him out. All right, just all sorted out now. He spoke fantastic. Okay, Acts chapter 2. The early church, the first church. There's around 120 of them gathered for the first church service. The Holy Spirit has descended, and they're now speaking in different languages. If I could get in a time capsule, I'd love to go back to Acts chapter 2. I think that would be the part I would love to go back to in the Bible. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, he rises up and delivers what's now known is the very first sermon of the church. Now, since then, there has probably been millions, possibly even a billion or more sermons and messages and podcasts that have been preached about this glorious book. But today, we're going to unpack the very first sermon that was ever preached to the church after the ascension of Christ. Just 7 days earlier, Jesus had ascended to be with his Father in heaven. And in that seven-day period, they were left without Jesus, and they were left without the Holy Spirit. That would have been 7 days of despair. For some of you who have lost a loved one during this season, you know what it is to feel an emptiness, a void in your life. 7 days without hope. 7 days of a promise without an answer. 7 days of anxious thoughts. Those 7 days. The Jews were under Roman occupation, as we talked about on Wednesday, and they were prisoners in their own land. I don't know about you, but if I was asked to deliver a message, I would be given a message of, come on, we need to rebel against the Roman Empire. Maybe a message on discouragement or disappointment, because that's exactly what they'd experienced. But let's see what Peter delivers on his first sermon. Okay, I'm checking in on the Zoom wall. I'm just checking in on you guys. Are you ready? Are you ready for Peter's first sermon? This isn't my sermon, this is Peter's. I'm just bringing it into 2020. Acts chapter 2, verse 26. This is the very first message of the church. It says this: I saw God before me all time. Nothing can shake me. He's right by my side. I'm glad from the inside out I have pitched my tent in the land called hope. Wow. Peter decided if he was gonna launch the message of the church, he was gonna talk on hope. Now that's my favorite subject to preach on. He decided the first message he was gonna deliver would be a message of hope. So I'm just gonna re-preach the very first message of the early church. The message is titled A Land Called Hope. A Land Called Hope. And I've got my tent with me on stage. You might get in that later. Now, like Peter, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm running a little bit low on hope these days. I've been talking to a lot of people, and they feel like hope is leaking out on every side. And if that's you, you've come to the right service today, because we're going to fill you up with some hope. We're going to fill you up, top you up. You know, without hope, both life and death lose their meaning. In life, we lose our sense of purpose, and in death, it's simply the end of the road. Hope. I don't know about you, if I'm honest, hope's been under threat in our world. If I'm really honest, even in my own life. Pretty much every single one of your plans and my plans for 2020 have gone kaput. We were breaking ground for the new church a couple of weeks ago. Carols at Carrow Road were just a few weeks ahead of us. Chantel and I had personal opportunities to travel and do some amazing things this year. Just don't know about you, it can feel like your hope's been punched in the stomach. I think we can all agree that some measure of our hope has been threatened over the past few months. But every day we have a choice to make, as Peter so beautifully put, where am I going to pitch my tent? Where am I going to pitch my tent? You've got two choices right now. You can pitch your tent in the land of despair, or you can pitch your tent in the land of hope. You get to choose and I get to choose. Now, it's pretty significant. It was a seven-day gap between Jesus' ascension and the day of Pentecost. 7 days from when Jesus left the earth to when the Holy Spirit descended. I tell you why it's significant, because sometimes from Sunday to Sunday can seem a long time. It can seem a long time. It can seem even longer when we weren't in whatever was normal church back in March. That's why we brought in, by the way, Wednesdays. Wednesday chapel, because we want to give you an injection of hope right in the center of the week. God doesn't want us to visit the land of hope. He wants us to live there. He wants us to pitch our tent, as Peter so beautifully put it, in the land of hope. A well-known cardiologist once said this. He said, "Hope is the medicine I use more than any other." Hope is the medicine that I use more than any other. I'll tell you why, because hope fosters health. If you're struggling with your health today, I believe through God's word, you're actually not just going to get a spiritual boost today, you're going to get a health boost. And Peter knew this, that hope brings health to every area of your life, your spiritual being, your emotional being, your physical being, every area of your life. And that's why I can't understand why we don't speak more on the glorious gospel of hope. So how do we hold on to hope right now when the news doesn't seem to be getting any better? All right, are you ready? We're going to take five thoughts from this passage, the very first sermon of the church. And these are five, we're going to turn them into five daily determinations from Peter to live, not pop into a land of hope, because a lot of people pop into the land of hope. On Monday, we heard that there was a vaccine coming. A lot of people popped into the land of hope. I don't just want to pop into a land of hope. I want to live in the land of hope. Are you ready, Zoom wall? Just checking in on you. There they are, Lynn and Trevor. Are you ready for this? Here we go. Five determinations. Number one is this. In fact, let's read the scripture first. 2 verse 26 says, "I saw God before me all the time." Number one is we got to determine how we see God. Determine how we see God. The very first message, the very first line Peter delivered to the church, he says, hey, before we even get into this, you've got to determine how you see God. The character of God. He said this, God is for me. God is before me all the time. If you're not tired of me saying this, you will be if you've been coming to Soul Church for a long time. But God is for you. The very first message of the church is God is for me all the time. You see, the way you see the Father will not affect God's acceptance of you. That's a done deal. But it will affect how you receive from him. Now, I'll put it like this. My kids, they approach me. Well, they have this approach for me. For now. I can do anything. I can buy anything. I can protect them from anything. I am pretty much Superman. They are obsessed right now. They keep telling me that I'm going to buy mummy a Tesla. If that's a word for anyone right now, just let me have it. But they are obsessed that daddy's going to buy mummy a Tesla really soon. Because they've got this approach to mum and dad, that mum and dad can do anything. That they can buy anything, I can protect them from anything. I think that's an incredible way to live. Why did Jesus say, come as children? Because he wants you to go to the Father and say, God, you can do anything. You are before me anytime. Their approach to me is not based on what I can do, it's based on who I am, because I'm their father. They see me as their source of protection. They see me as their source of blessing. How do you see God? Wonder honestly, how do you see God? Do you see God as your judge or your loving father? Isn't it interesting how Peter started the first message? God is your loving father. God wants nothing but good for your life. He sent his son Jesus to this earth so you could enjoy good gifts. God is a giver of life. He is a giver of hope. You know, we can never live in the land of hope if we see God wrong. You can't abide there. You might be able to pop in there, but you cannot live in the land of hope. This is why Peter said right at the outset of his message, he said, we just got to get some theology right here. God is for me. God is for you. Even on your worst days, even when you mess up, even when you fall short, even when you say a bad word, even when you do a wrong act, God is for me. And so I live in the constant expectation. If I know someone is for me, I live in the constant expectation of hope in my life. Determine, number one, how you see God. Number two, determine your circumstances will not dictate where you dwell. And then you got to go, okay, let's get this circumstantial. Acts 2:16, this is what Peter says. He says, nothing, now I see God as my source, nothing can shake me. What a confession. Surely something, Peter. Surely the fact that Romans have taken over your country, surely that must shake you. Surely the fact that they have been crucifying Christians, maybe that should shake you. Surely that there's been disease. No, Peter says, no. Nothing can shake me. I don't know about you, but I've been shaken by 2020. It's kind of shaken us all up a little bit, hasn't it? It's kind of shaken our priorities back in order. It's kind of shaken us towards God a little. And Peter confesses his trust and his hope in God. Now, we get the word hope from a Greek word. I'm going to put it on the screen in front of you. It's pronounced elpis. Elpis. It's spelled E-L-I-P-I-S. Elpis. I love the fact that peace is in the word hope, as it's pronounced. Poetic license stretched. Now, the Greek word of hope was not objective, it was subjective. Now, come with me on a journey here, because this is going to help someone understanding hope. If there was any proof of hope in the past, there was proof that there could be hope in the future. Now, this is what the word hope means. Hope was not subjective to their current circumstances. So right now, we base our hope on our current circumstances. If life right now is not good, it can't be good. That's basically how we're seeing life right now. Now, I've always only ever seen hope as futuristic, as foresight in the future. I can only see hope in what's in front of me. But Peter said, no, if you understand the Greek understanding, it means this. We can look back over our lives, and if there was hope in the past, we can have a positive expectation of hope in the future. So let's just bring this into 2020, which means if we got through lockdown 1.0, we can get through lockdown 2.0, which means if God provided for me last week, God can provide for me next week, which means if I did not get taken down last week, because it is in the past, it reflects the future. My business made it last month. My business will make it this month. And here's God's track record for John Norman's life. He has never failed me, and he won't start now. Now, I want you to look back over your life, because don't keep looking to hope in the future. Go, God, if you got me through that, I have a hope because you will get me through this. He is El Peace. I love Psalm 37:25. This is exactly this. It's a verse of hope. I was young, and now, I'm not going to say this, but I'm a little less younger. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or his children sitting there begging for food. So here's the deal. If God looked after my family in 2019, God will look after my family in 2020. If God got me through last week, he will get me through this week. If we didn't wear masks in 2019, we will go into a season in the future where we haven't got to do it anymore. If we gathered in this room in our hundreds in the past, my positive expectation for the future is we will gather in this room of hundreds in the future. If we went on holiday in the past with our family, we will go on holiday again in the future. Do you get it today? Live every day, not just according to what is God's going to do, but what he has already done. Don't live on what you're experiencing. Live on what you've experienced. LPs. I'm getting good at my Greek. I notice Steve doesn't talk about Greek anymore. Number three, you've got to determine who is by your side. Determine who is by your side. I love what Peter said. He said, he is right by my side. Who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Now, I hate to break this to you, but you won't get through this season without Jesus. You won't come out of this unscathed without Jesus. He is by my side. Everyone I know right now without Jesus is struggling because they don't have a hope. There is a battle. Now come with me here. We're going on a journey in the next 5 minutes. Come with me here. There is a battle raging for who is by your side in this season. There is a battle raging. And in a storm, we need to choose our storm company really, really carefully. And Jesus knows right now that you're low on hope. So you need to choose carefully who is by your side. Peter is talking to the church. He's saying, right now, it's tough. Our friends and families have been crucified for being followers of Jesus. So guess what? We're going to have to stick together. We're going to have to join forces here. We're going to have to pray together. We're going to have to be as one. The enemy wants a seat at your table. The enemy wants a seat at the table of your young people and your children. So I've just come up with these three things to help us remember, but these are three things that we need by our side right now in COVID. I'm going to give them to you really quickly and then we'll just unpack them. Number one, you need a well of hope. Number two, you need a pope of hope. And number three, you need a rope of hope. Okay, a well of hope, a pope of hope, and a rope of hope. First thing you need is your well of hope. John 4:14 says this, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. God's word is a well of life. We cannot afford to not be reading or listening to our Bibles right now in this season. You might have got away with it in 2019 when life wasn't as stormy, but right now in a storm, you need to get to the well of life. I love going to restaurants, especially in America, that you can have bottomless drinks, the soda. I know it's bad for you, and I very rarely do it. But I love going to a restaurant, and they were like, it's like $2 or £2, and you can just sit there all day and all night just drinking from the well of Fanta. You know, the reservoir of this book is bottomless. It is bottomless. It can never run dry. People have been reading it for 2, 4, 6,000 years, and it's still giving people. It's quenching their thirst. I want to encourage you today, pick up your Bible. It's a well of hope. Oh, I tried it once and it didn't work. I tried going to the gym once and it didn't work. You got to be consistent with it. You got to be consistent with it. The greatest ability you can ever have in life is stickability. stick at God's word. Just stick at it day and night, night and day. It's a well of hope. Then you need a Pope of Hope. What's a Pope of Hope? It's God's person. A well of hope is God's word. A Pope of Hope is God's person. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage. Encourage one another. Are the people around you encouraging you or discouraging you? Are they bringing out the worst in you or the best in you? Paul said you got to build one another up. You got to get some podcasts, some ministry. You got to tune into God's man, God's woman for the hour. Can I encourage you this? Watch the relationships by your side right now. How do I know that my boyfriend or my girlfriend is the right relationship? I've got a really simple answer. They draw you closer to God. I've got a word for someone. If your relationship is not drawing you closer to God, finish it. Well, that's harsh. No, it's not. It's not harsh. Because right now in this season, you need people who are drawing you closer. The right relationships, they draw you closer to God. A Pope of Hope or a Pope-ess of Hope. Third thing you need is this. You need a rope of hope. Talking about God's word, then God's person, then here, God's house. Psalm 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. Don't cut the rope, church. Do not cut the rope right now in this season. I know the rope looks electrical, but don't cut it. And I get it, and I know it's difficult, but it's a lifeline right now. I'm going to be slightly controversial, but the government should never have cut the rope of the church. This is a sacred place. This is the house of God, and we've been put in the same category as a gym. We're in the leisure industry box. We've been had our rope cut. As a church, we're taking a stand. I believe halting public worship is a breach of our religious freedoms. All I'm saying is watch this space, because we're not going to allow the rope to be cut any longer. People need it right now. People need this house. People need the house of hope. Students, families, mums, dads, build your schedules around church, not church around your schedules. This is the house of hope. You need it in your life. Here's what happens. When you move towards the well of hope, the Pope of hope, and the rope of hope, the devil moves out. He moves out. Number four, you've got to be determined how you pitch your tent. Determine how you pitch your tent. Verse 26 says, I'm glad from the inside out. Now, growing up, tents, you pitch the tent from the outside in. You don't go inside a tent and start building it from the inside out. You pitch a tent from the outside in. But Peter's saying, no, this is a different tent. This is a different situation. Your hope does not come from externals, but internals. Peter is saying hope comes from the inside. You see, happiness is external. This is why when you get a new hairdo, ladies, the outside, you look super good. Beautiful. And you men, you get a new jacket or a man bun or something on the externals. Get a new relationship on your arm. External. So much of our hope isn't actually hope, it's happiness. It's happiness. But Peter says, no, I want to teach the church something here. This is not a normal tent. This is not a normal tent. Every ever tent, you pitch it from the outside in, but not this one. The tent of hope is different. You've got to let God to do something on the inside. This is why the rope of hope and the Pope of hope are so important to you. because it's people who you allow on the inside. God's word gets in on the inside. You see, we got a hope on the inside, not based on our current circumstances, but our past experiences. You might be sick on the outside right now. You've got a hope on the inside that you're going to get well. You might be broke on the outside, but you got to speak favor to your inside. On the outside, your children are away from God, but you got to see them back in the house on the inside. The vaccine is outside. That's why you can't rest all your hope on it. Here's our hope. Our hope is in this book. Our hope is in our Savior. Our hope is in the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. We got to pitch our tent from the inside. Hebrews 6:19, I love this, says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Wait for this. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. We talked about the curtain 2 weeks ago. We want everything on the stage of our life to be in order. We want life to go back to normal. And God says, no, let me do something behind the curtain. The inner sanctuary. God is up to something internal more than he's up to something external. And you've got to trust him with the internals in your season. Your victory begins on the inside. Hope begins on the inside. Come on, say it out loud. My victory begins on the inside. Number five, and finally, we're gonna land this plane. You got to determine to move and remain. Move and remain. Peter finishes his sermon with this. Are you ready, Zoom wall? Are we still there? Are they getting excited? We're still there. Here we go. He said, number five, he said, I have pitched my tent in the land called hope. First thing he tells us is how he fixes his tent, and then he tells us where he's fixing his tent. Now, we're going to pick up some tents today, because some of your tents, you've pitched them in the wrong places. You pitched them in the land of despair. You pitched them in disappointment. And it's time to pack up your belongings and move out of the land of discouragement to a new residence today. You've got to move out of I can't do-ville. I'm moving on from Depression Street. I'm leaving self-pity estate. I'm done with my negative neighborhood. I'm pulling up my tent stakes and I am moving to a new residence. Now here's what happens if you don't. If you give the devil an inch in your life, he will become the ruler. And so many of us have given him an inch and he is ruling. He is ruling our thoughts. He's ruling our actions. COVID has taken over your home. COVID has taken over your thought life. And God is saying, hey, I just want you to think about where you were. I want you to get a little bit of peace back in your life, because it's not about your current circumstances. Hope is about what's happened in the past. And because God brought you through, God will take you into this season. Don't allow the devil to win. Tell him today, I'm moving. I'm moving. I'm shifting my tent. I'm moving it out of the land of disappointment. And I'm hope. We're going to finish now. But here's what happens when you decide to move. Here's what happens. You move others with you. You move others with you. People say, wow, if he's moving his tent, I'll move my tent. If he's not getting anxious, I'm just not going to get anxious either. That's why I've determined in this season, This is the house of hope. This is not a house of corona. This is the house of hope. And so I'm going to take some people on a journey with me, because we're going to come out of this unscathed at the other side. Today, you can move people from the tent of despair to the tent of hope. It's called a phone call. It's called a bunch of flowers. It's called a little note saying you're going to make it. It's called an invite to church. People are dying for real hope. You have it, and I have it. I'm going to pray right now. going to pray. Some of you have forgotten about this glorious hope. Some of you have misplaced it. But today, we're going to reignite some hope. Some of you never had it. I'm going to pray for you too at the end. I'm going to pray for two things. First of all, I'm going to pray that God opens your eyes, that hope is yours. Often we think hope is someone else's, but hope is yours today. God wants you, come with me here, God wants you to lean back today on historic hope. Historic hope. So much we forget about what God has done. Historic hope. Look where you used to be. Look at the mess that you used to be in. I know there's been setbacks. And I know this has not been an easy year for you. But God wants you to lean back on what he's already done. And trust him. God is in the inner sanctuary. He's behind the curtain. God will make all things new. So we're going to open our eyes to historic hope. The second thing I want us to do is express our hope. I believe that hope needs to be expressed. And maybe that means expressing it out loud in your study, expressing it out loud in your family, pulling the kids in right now. We're going to express some hope. Maybe it's an expression like, I'm going to make it. God's not forgotten about me. Dads, why don't we start talking about where we were instead of not where we are? Just a different way to express hope. I'm moving my tent today. Some of you need to move your tent from Facebook to the book. You're spending far too much time at the wrong well. And it's fueling anxiety and fear. God is saying, no, come to the well of hope. I'm moving my tent today from the couch to Connect Group. I'm not going to do it alone anymore. I'm going to join a group. I'm going to go online, and I know it's a bit embarrassing on Zoom, and I get that, but I just need to be around good people who want the best for me. So I'm going to move my tent today from the couch of Netflix to a community who love me, who want the best for me. I'm going to move my tent from whining to worship. I've whined and I've groaned and I've moaned and I've been upset, but I'm decided today that I'm moving my tent. And I'm going to stop whining about how bad 2020 is. And I'm going to begin to lift my hands. I'm going to begin to praise. I'm going to begin to honor God in this season. I'm going to move my tent from negativity to possibility. I'm going to believe God today that a shift is going to happen in people's homes, in people's lives. I may have been through 1,000 disappointments in 2020. Amen. We're moving today. We're going to pitch our tent in the land called hope. We're not going to reside in fear anymore. We're not going to reside in anxious thoughts. I believe there's a shift happening in people's homes. But today, I talked about people who'd lost hope. I talked about people who'd misplaced hope. But also, there's another group of people you've never had hope. Never had hope. You've never experienced hope. God is the giver of hope. Everything else is happiness. Hey, there's nothing wrong with happiness. We all want nice things and they bring an element of happiness for a season in our life, and I get that. And that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is something on the inside, not on the outside. It's something where even when life is crashing around us and even when life is not what we think it should be, we still have this peace. We still have this sense of God. God is still with us. I know for you right now, maybe you're experiencing turmoil all around you. You're thinking, I can't make it. Maybe even you've had dark thoughts about the future. God is saying, would you just open up your internal, your heart? God will come in. God will come in. He'll remove all those toxic thoughts. The darkness, the sin, the mess, the shame, the guilt, all those things that bring negative emotion to your life, and he'll replace them with his love and his joy and his peace and his hope. today can be a brand new day for you. And you can shift your tent from despair and hopelessness to a new land. A land you've never been to before. It's called the land of hope. And you can live there. You can walk into work, head into Zoom. People go, wow, what's happened to you? You're going to think it's something external. You say, no, it's something that happened on the inside. See, Peter said you've got to pitch your tent from the inside out. Our world is trying to fix their lives by the outside in. But all it leaves you is empty. It leaves you broken. It leaves you looking and searching. And God is saying, no, I can do something that a Tesla or a new watch or a new house or a holiday can't do. I can bring you internal peace. You say, well, what do I have to do to receive all that? Believe. Believe that the Father sent Jesus to this earth to die a cruel death on a cross for you. He will come in. He will wipe your slate clean. He'll give you a new beginning and a fresh start. I know people are watching all over the world right now. This really is an opportunity for you to respond to His love. I'm going to ask everyone in the room to close their eyes. If you're in your office, your lounge, if you're a follower of Jesus already right now, would you pray right now for those who aren't? It's a sacred moment for our church. I'm believing that people all over our country, all over our world are going to find Jesus in this moment. I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He died for me. Thank you that He took my place. Thank you that He rose again. Thank you that His precious blood cleanses me from my sin. Right now, I open up my heart, the internals of my life, and I invite you to come and live inside of me. Give me a fresh start, a new beginning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, have you said that prayer for the first time, or you felt a reconnection to God? Maybe you were the group of people who misplaced their hope. You're saying, hey, I want to grab that rope of hope again. You do that today. Would you drop us a comment in the chat? If it's on Facebook, on YouTube, we've got a team of people there who would love to pray for you, help you, or send us an email at info@soulchurch.com. And our team will reach back this week. We'll help you. And we'll make sure that we pinpoint you to a Bible. You can download the Bible app online. That's a great way to read the Bible. Just head to your app section on your phone or your iPad and just download the Bible. And every day, I talked about it. It's a well of hope. Just draw from that well every day. Just start reading. Maybe start with the book of Psalms. It's a really simple but powerful book that will just really help you and fill you with peace every day. Just read maybe just a few verses from that. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament is another great way to start reading the Bible. It's the Gospels. And all the words in red of what Jesus said. They're my favorite bits, if you're allowed favorite bits. So good. And stay connected. We have chapel services Wednesday and Sunday, 10:30 a.m. and 8 p.m. You're going to love that. So stay connected in church. I pray today you receive the word. I pray you received it in faith. I pray that something shifted in your life today. I pray that something moved in your life. I pray today you're going to move from self-pity to a sense of God. I've got something today. I've got something fresh from you. I'm going to move away from hopelessness to the land of hope. I'm pitching my tent in a land called hope. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.